want to start reading at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. When he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great, and he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. Praise God. Brother Matt, would you ask God to help me today? Amen and amen. I want to preach a little while today, if the Lord will help me, on a very simple subject. I want to preach on Father's house. Let me say just a few more things before getting that. I want to say, first off, appreciate the youth camp and what a blessing it's been to my children. And appreciate Brother Garrison, appreciate Brother and Sister Gein, and Brother Finley, all of those that make this possible. It's thrilling to me. I've been coming to this mountain, I don't know, for many years, and preaching a lot in the 10 o'clock service and in the 2 o'clock and just anyway, and then had the privilege of, I guess it was 2 years ago, to preach the nights. But it's quite an honor now to have my son the last 2 years to preach to me. That's a wonderful thing to see all your children in church and worshiping God. And they got a lot of help right here on this mountain. And so appreciate everybody and all those at work. And I think I was talking to Brother Jerry, I think, last night. Said they're going to try to get started on the building maybe here pretty soon. And we're going to sure try to help and do all we can on that. And that's great. I appreciate everybody and all that are here today. And I sometimes get a one-track mind, and I don't thank people like I want to, but I want to thank you now, all the counselors, and good to have all of you. All right. I want to preach a little while on Father's house. Father's house. You know, when you're young, like most of you are, you really don't understand all of the wonderful things that come at Father's house. When I was your age, I thought just about like some of you, especially in my teen years, I thought, well, I'll be glad to get out of Father's house. Not that I was ever mistreated,
Always had plenty of food to eat, a good bed to sleep in. I'm one of the few people in this world, it seems, that was not abused. You talk to so many people, so many were abused and mistreated. And, you know, I don't have any of those horror stories. I had a wonderful mother, had a wonderful father. You know, thank God we weren't rich, but we had all the food we needed. And so thank God for a wonderful father's house. But yet, with all of those things, I just waited. I couldn't wait till I got 18. I'd always made up my mind when I got 18, I left. That was it. It was already set. I was going out into the wide world and make a go of it for myself. And I did, and I made it, thank God. But as I look back at life, and I realize now that some of the best days of my life were at Father's house. Amen. Some of you young ladies here, for various and sundry reasons, you know, you just can't wait to get married and get out of the house because you're so tired of the responsibilities of having to clean your bedroom, of having to wash the dishes at night, and you're just so tired of that that you can't wait to get married so you can do all the dishes. And you can do all the cooking. And you can do all the cleaning. Hallelujah. Doesn't it sound wonderful what's coming up for you when you get out of daddy's house? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. You'll be able to get out and then you'll get people to do all the cleaning, all the washing, all the dishes. Oh, make all the beds, and if you're blessed with some little rugrats, you'll get to change all their diapers and stay up half the night while they scream and holler. If you can just get out of daddy's house. Oh, won't that be great? And just think about it, fellas. You know, I know you're chafing under the fact that you're in, you know, under daddy's house, and he's telling you what to do, and you've got to mow the grass, and every now and again, you know, you've got to at least muck the room out enough where you can get a path in the door. You know, you're forced into doing something like that, and you know, you've got to do all that. I mean, you know, dad leaves it in the morning early and works, and he calls you back to see if you cut the grass. I mean, the nerve of fathers and mothers to do stuff like that. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. You just hang on a few more days, and you're going to get out of there, bless God. Huh? And guess what? You're going to get up every day and work a job and come home, and guess what? And cut the grass. Oh, yes. Oh, glory to God. And guess what else? Amen. Listen to your wife. Give you that honey-do list of all the things that you need to do and fix the faucets and all the good things that come with life whenever you can just get out of daddy's house. You see, I'm going to talk about the things that were at that. Just a little opening of salvo there. Just a shot across the bow. Hallelujah. You see, I'm going to talk about the things that were at daddy's house. First off, there was safety. You know, when I was at home, I always felt safe. And when we went to bed at night, I didn't think about the people coming in because I always felt like whatever it was, daddy could take care of it. I felt at rest at daddy's house. There was safety there. All the time I lived, I never worried about food and a place to stay because dad always brought food and we always had a shelter over our head while I was at daddy's house. But you see, these were the good things that I found at daddy's house. There was always love there. I always felt loved. My mother told me that she loved me. My daddy told me that he loved me. At daddy's house, I felt the love that come with being at daddy's house. But oh, you see, the things that came, not only were there safety, not only was there food and shelter, and there was love, but you see, there were these other things that I didn't like. There were the restrictions that dad placed on me. You can't go here, and you can't go there, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. No, it was those restrictions that I just thought I couldn't live without. I couldn't bear the them restrictions. I mean, to have to come home. You know, when I got older, to have to come home at a particular time. I thought, this is so crazy that I had to be home at 11 o'clock and get into bed. But now, guess what? Amen. Since I've joined the real world, there's been many a night I've been out on a job somewhere working. I wish someone had made me. Said, you know, you got to be home at 11. You got to be in the bed at 11. But Brother Matt, I was out there still grinding, trying to make a living, trying to make a daddy's house for my boys. You see, you got to understand, when you go to daddy's house, there will be some restrictions. But those restrictions are for your good. Hallelujah. Some of you young girls can't understand. I mean, why daddy, when them boys come around, he gets to putting a dead eye on them. Huh? He looks them all over. Huh? Yeah. He looks them all over there, Mr. Finley. He wants to check them all out. You know, and let me tell you, listen, your daddy will ask you some of the, can I say this word? He'll ask you some of the dumbest questions about your boyfriend. Let me tell you something. Listen, he won't ask one thing about, well, how does he look? Is he good looking? Is he tall? Is he handsome? Does he have black hair? Does it look like he took a shower and forgot to dry it? I understood all these new hairdos, you know. My God, Brother Matt, looked like he took a shower, you know. And that's the way we look when we got out of the shower, and then we'd dry our hair, and then we'd comb it, you know. But now they just look like they get out of the shower. And the girls go, oh, it's so cute. I never seen nothing like it. God, have mercy. Huh? he won't ask you, you know, kind of stupid question to ask you? Does he have a job?
Well, what's that got to do with anything? He's cute.
Huh?
He's just so sweet.
Yeah, but does he have a job?
Oh, Daddy, does that make any difference? We in love. We're in love with one another, Daddy. I'm sure he will.
Huh? He asks you, but does he have a kind of a temper? Has he ever hit around on you any?
Well, you know, one time I was in a little fight and he slapped me.
You better wake up and smell the coffee brewing, honey doll. If he slapped you, then he'll be beating you later on. Hear me, he'll ask you all kind of questions. And you know, and if he don't measure up, if he looks like a boy that ain't going to work, if he looks like a boy that ain't going to provide, if he looks like someone that's not going to love you and not going to cherish you, daddy will come up with some stupid idea. You can't go out with him. Boy, you'll just get fired mad, won't you? And then they'll come up with other stupid things like,
daddy, we want to go on a date.
Well, that's fine, honey, but you have to take a chaperone with you.
Okay. You don't trust me. You don't think I'm my kid.
Well, honey, I trust you, but I don't trust the devil. You see, these restrictions at daddy's house, you may not understand them, but they're all for your benefit. This was the problem with the prodigal son. I don't think it was he didn't like the food. I don't think there was any problem with the fact that he liked having a bed to sleep in. I don't think there was anything wrong with the fact, Jeremy, that his father loved him. I don't think that was the problem. He didn't want those restrictions. He didn't want those guidelines. He didn't want nobody telling him what to do. Hello, pal. P-A-L and P-O-W-E-L. Now listen, let me tell you boys something. Them restrictions. Oh, I'm sure every one of you like, how many of you have a bed to sleep in each night? I'm talking to the boys now. You have a bed to sleep in? Praise God. Roof over your head? Huh? Food on the table? Your mom and daddy love you? How many like that part? How many like having a roof over your head, food on your table, and a mom and dad? You like that, don't you? What's the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. It's them stupid restrictions. Huh? You You know, especially, you know, as you get older. Maybe some of you youngers won't quite, but we'll move, have to move a little higher. Maybe we'll try to get down here a little lower, touch everybody. But it's them restrictions. You know, son, you got to be in at 11.
Well, I don't want to say, Mark, come here. I'm a big boy. I don't want to come. I'll take him.
Huh? Son? You can't go with them boys.
They may not be Christian, but I'm that boy.
Well, son, do they smoke?
Dad, I mean, that's worse than the world. Let's go and smoke. I mean, ain't no good just because I smoke does that.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, it's all kind of this crazy stuff like that they worry about. Do they smoke? Do they take drugs? Huh? Do they go to them? Oh, they'll ask you all kind of questions about your friends. And I know how it is. Just as big and tough as you boys are. And just, you know, most of you are so smart. I mean, you're smarter than I am. I know that. Smarter than all you boys, smarter than your dad, you know. You'll be surprised how dumb you'll get in about 20 years from now. But right now, you're smarter than you'll ever be. You'll never be as smart as you are right now. Especially about 16 to 18. Man, I tell you, Brother Ricky, if you didn't think I was smart, then you should ask. I knew it all. Bless God, I mean I knew it all. But as I've got older, man, if something's happened to me, I'm falling apart, losing my mind or something. Huh? But listen, these restrictions, here's the problem with the prodigal. He liked daddy. I don't think it was that he didn't want mama's roast beef anymore, but at life. He kept looking down there in the far country. He kept thinking, gone to church all my life. I never got to go to a dance. I like to go to a dance. Well, what good will that do you, huh? Well, I've been in church all my life, Mom and Dad. They never would let me smoke. Well, wouldn't that just be great if you could just start smoking and maybe you could get lung cancer? Wouldn't that be great? How stupid of them to try to keep you from something so good for you, huh? Whew. Or, you know, I mean, it's terrible. If your mom and dad say, they probably won't even let you chew tobacco or snuff. Oh, what's wrong?
You need that little plant before you lift in your food so you can rot the teeth out and so you can get cancer of the living cell down.
You can't do that at daddy's house, so that's why you got to get out of daddy's house so you can get you some of that good stuff and pack it down your... Huh? Probably at your daddy's house. Your daddy probably go by and they see one of them freaks with tattoos all over him. And he probably, look at that, son. Look how that looks. And I just have a funniest feeling that there might be somebody right here that you just think, well, if I get out of daddy's house, I'll get me a little one right here on the arm. All right, my girlfriend, my mom. Yeah, well, what if you change girlfriends after a while and your wife's gonna look at that every day? Huh? CNS forever and you marry D. You thought you was getting S and you wound up with C and D. Oh, let me tell you something. Stay away from all that old goofy stuff. Listen, if you get that idea. Oh, I know how it is. We're all spiritual now. And bless God, thank God, that's the great thing about youth camp. I know we all get charged up and I've seen you doing the hucklebuck and the shouting and praise God. That's wonderful. Please, man, don't let me dampen that out. We ain't got near enough of that going on. But let's just tell the truth and shame the devil. We're not going to always be at youth camp surrounded by everybody that all believes the same thing. We're going to leave here. We're going to go home. And the devil's going to try to get you out of daddy's house. Going to try to pull you out from the touch of God. He's going to try to pull you out from the grace of the Lord. He's going to try to turn you against the very ones that love you the most. Hallelujah. Woo. And convince you that down in that far country is just where you need to be. So, listen, he didn't like the restrictions. I think another thing, he probably didn't like the responsibilities. Now, mention that a little bit. We'll just mention just a little bit more and move on here. I'm not going to preach all day, just half the day. Hallelujah. That's all he left me was half the day. Now, listen. He probably got tired of feeding the cows. He thought, man, what a life this is. Every day I get up, I got to go out there and feed the cows. What a life. I mean, Mom got me up at 11 o'clock today. How ridiculous. Huh? I mean, I needed another hour of sleep. I needed my beauty rest. Let me tell you something. Only thing going to save some of you be a coma. Beauty rest ain't going to help you none. Oh, listen here. Woo! Now, moving on here. Woo! Now, listen to me. Now, listen. I got tired of that. Tired of feeding them old stupid cows. Let them big old thing go out there and get some food for themselves. Huh? Maybe it was a dairy farmer, Brother Larry. Oh, God. And they said, I'm tired of getting up every morning and milking these cows. You know, it's one that I never did understand, Brother Larry. I mean, as strong as God is on the Sabbath, seemed like he would have programmed them cows to take a day off. I mean, the Lord said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. You shall do no labor but rest. And I declare them cows milked 7 days a week, don't they, sister? Am I telling it right? 7 days a week. Huh? Huh? I think the worst thing would be when they wrap them big old stinking tails around you. And, oh, God. God bless you, Lonnie. I'm glad somebody milks them cows so we can have butter and milk. I'm so glad, Brother Trice. Woo! But I don't know. You know, maybe he got tired of the cows. Say, what about the hogs? They didn't believe in hogs, so just forget about them. We ain't talking about the hogs. They had the cows. May have had some sheep. I don't know. I'd have never raised them, but they say they're real stupid and hard to get along with. I would probably understand that because I've spent a lot of my life dealing with stupid. I mean, anyway, he might have had some sheep to take care of. But he got tired of that. And he thought, man, what am I doing here? So one day he got the right idea. He thought it all out, you know. Well, I got a bed, and I do have food, and it's safe, and I got love, but, man, these restrictions and these responsibilities, it's just more than I can take. And so one day he has a meeting with Daddy. Pops, I've been thinking about this deal. Okay, son, what is it? Dad, you know, I don't feel like I want to be a farmer the rest of my life. I feel like I want to do something else, and I'd like to start a business on my own. Can you give me whatever of this is mine and let me do what I'm going to do? Whew. I've got to believe the father was broken. Whether he cried, I don't know, but I'm confident he was broken. I'm confident Mom was broken as they realized that son was fixing to head the wrong direction. Oh, God. But somehow, I don't know, the Bible don't give us all the details, but I'm going to tell you right now, believe it or not, it wasn't one meet where he said, Daddy, give me all this mine. And Daddy said, yeah, let's go to the bank right now and write you a check out. It wasn't nothing like that, no. I'm sure there was some pleading, some talking, some begging, some sitting down. Son, you better think about it. That's bad country down there. What are you going to do when you get down there? Are you going to serve God? Is there a church down there? Are you going to do what's right? Are you going to fall in wrong company? I'm confident Daddy was trying to keep that boy from destruction. Hallelujah. But the story goes on. He got his stuff. He went down to the far country. And just exactly what the daddy, he spent all he had with riotous living. He got with wrong companions. He did things that were wrong and sinful and harmful and destructive. And finally one day though he came to himself. Down in a hog pen. Feeding the things that they despised. Going against all the things his daddy had taught him. And he finally woke up and guess what he said. Guess what he thought about. Father's house. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He got to thinking about Father's house. He got to thinking about the bed. He got to thinking about the fried chicken. He got to thinking about the roast beef. Woo! He got to thinking about Mama's home-cooked biscuits. Hallelujah. He got to thinking about Daddy. His love. And all of a sudden, wade knee deep in the hog water and manure, all of a sudden Daddy's house didn't look all that bad anymore. All of a sudden, Daddy's house began to look good to him again. Woo! He said, I think I'm going to rise and I'm going to go back to my father's house. He said, for even the servants have bread enough and to spare, and I'm perishing with hunger. Oh, yes, sir. I'm going to tell you this. It's an old saying, but it's still right. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Let me talk to you young ladies here for a minute. You better listen. Listen to me right now. The very best days of your life are right now. I said they're right now. How can that be, Brother Marky? How can these be the best? I'm just telling you, believe me what I'm telling you, the best days of your life. You've got a mom and dad that love you and food on the table and clothes on your back and a shelter. You're having the very best days of your life. And I'm not against marriage. Don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with marriage. I'm not trying to discourage any a young person here that's of age and right mind to get married. But listen, what I'm trying to tell you is you'll never have it better than what you got it right now, ladies. Woo! At Father's house. At Father's house. Because like I said, as I mentioned before, we won't go just belabor the point. When you get married, you've got all the cooking, all the cleaning, all the washing, babies to raise, a husband to take care of, and there'll be more things than you can imagine will come your way. And there'll come a day, believe you me, when you'll be happy just to go to Daddy's house and get Daddy to hug you and get Mama to hug you. And you'll realize that that mom and dad you thought was so hard and so terrible were some of the best people on the face of God's earth. Hallelujah. I told my daughter, many times she gets really nervous, you know. God love her precious little darling heart. She gets really nervous. She's 19. She says she's never been kissed. I don't know. That thing went off, baby. You know, she gets discouraged and I won't go to all the details of her love life and all these things. But you know what? When she gets discouraged, Brother Finley, I just take her and I hug her. And I tell her, baby, I love you. And you can stay here with Daddy the rest of your life if you want to. Because nobody will love you like Daddy loves you. And that's the truth. Amen. I don't care if you're sitting in this building, you think you're married, my daughter. I'm going to tell you, you'll never love that little girl like Daddy and Mommy loves her. You'll never treat her as good as Daddy and Mommy treat her. That's just the way it is. Hallelujah. No, and let me just tell you, just in case anybody here might think they're going to marry her, just in case, or you find somebody that thinks they're going to, just tell them for me here and now, if you don't want to love this girl and take care of her and feed her and supply a place for her to live, then go on down the road because we don't need you. Woo! Oh, she don't have to have the best. No, no. No, no, I didn't have the best when I first got married. But whoever marries this little girl better love her. And he better be planning on taking care of her. Because if he don't, he's going to have Daddy to take care of. He's going to have Daddy to face. Oh, yeah, you say, oh, yeah, I mean every word I'm saying today. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, listen, girls, listen to me right now. If you've got a daddy that loves you, amen, listen, just keep things good when the time comes and you get married. That'll be fine. But always remember, there'll never be any place like Daddy's house. Hallelujah. Oh, let me talk to you boys here for a minute. Amen. That's got it so rough and you having to mow the grass and probably clean your room and who knows what other kind of hideous tasks are being laid upon you and restrictions that I mentioned before. Huh? Yeah. Well, just remember, boys, it'll never be better than what you got it right now at Daddy's house. Amen. Where Daddy's paying the bills and Daddy's putting the food on the table. Are y'all still here? And Mama's loving you and Mama's taking care of you. Because one day you will get married and you will leave the nest and you'll have to pay your own bills, your electric bills, your water bills, your house payments, or your rent and work like a dog day and night and cut the grass and start the grill and love your wife and be obedient. I mean, and listen, and be the boss. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me. Woo! My Lord, the beeper almost went off there. Listen to me now. Oh, listen. But the
best later.
Life, boys, are right now. Why you're foot loose and fancy free? Because while you're up here in youth camp, your daddy's home working. While you're up here shouting and having a good time, your daddy's home working. Oh, listen, it's great to be in daddy's house. Hallelujah. Oh, down in the hog pen. He came to himself, having spent all of his money, having wasted all of his money. He woke up and stinking like a hog and said, my. His mind, the lights began to flicker. He said, the servants, the lowest of the low in my daddy's house are doing better than I'm doing. I'm getting out of here and I'm going back to daddy's house. Oh, listen, a little bit more. In that far country, he found fear. Famine. He found hatred. He found a place of no respect. He found a place that had no morals. He found a place that had no love. When he got down, listen to me, when he got broke, he couldn't even find a friend would buy him a hamburger at McDonald's. My Scott didn't have McDonald's then. Well, I know, but I'm trying to update a little bit here. Huh? He couldn't find anybody to buy him a Pepsi Cola, Brother Gein. They didn't have them back then. I know that. I'm updating this thing a little bit. Woo! They didn't care. But they spent his money. They took his money. They had a big time. And they didn't care about him. Too tough luck, boy. Do the best you can. He would have fain filled himself with the old husk that the hogs ate. But no man gave to him. And he began to be in want. He found famine and fear and hatred and no love in the far country. Whew. But he staggered back home. And as he come up the road, while he was yet a great way off, that old daddy that he thought didn't love him, that old daddy that put all them restrictions on him, I'm confident, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but I'm confident that every day the father went to the highest place. It was probably an overlook somewhere on that big farm. Brother Ricky, I can see him looking way down. Looking down there, just see maybe if I might see a speck. Looking to see if maybe that boy had got tired and was coming back home. Oh, God. And one day, the Bible doesn't tell us how long, but one day he went out there and looked, and in the distance he saw a little speck. And old daddy thought, I wonder if that might be my boy. He went back, did his chores, came back a little later, Brother Jeremy got up and looked, and that speck was getting a little closer. He said, I don't know who it is, but I believe it's a person. Woo! He went and cut a little more hay, did a little more work, came back a little later. Amen, that speck was getting closer. He said, it's a man. I can tell it's a man. Woo! He went and did a few more jobs. No doubt may have went and got his wife and said, honey, come and look. And she said, I see somebody coming up the road. And see if that's our boy. I believe as they looked and they saw, and when they finally got to where they could recognize him, oh, the father didn't go in and lock the gate and leave a sign out and say, forget it, you worthless tramp, you left us. No, no, when he saw that was his son, he ran to where he was. He ran to where he was. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, and embraced him and said, get these clothes off of him. Put a ring on his hand. Put some shoes on his feet. Woo! Get him cleaned up and kill the fatted calf. For this my son was lost and is found. He's come back home. Hallelujah. And they begin to make merry. Listen, when I go just a little further here. Oh, what a time that must have been when he got back to Father's house. Oh, hallelujah. But the older son, he heard the merry. He was out working, heard all the making of merry and having the fun. And he thought, what's going on? So he asked one of the servants. He said, your brother's come home. Your brother from the far country's come home. And like older brothers are, sometimes he was a little jealous of his brother who had been wasteful and been bad and been, you know, destructive. And he couldn't understand why mom and dad would fool with such a worthless wretch. But oh, he didn't understand how daddy was. He couldn't understand the love of a mother and a father. You love your children all the same. Oh, yes. And so when he come home, there was love. But listen, here he... They said, well, your son won't come in. So the dad went out to him. He said, what's going on, son? He said, Dad, I've worked for you all these years. I've been faithful. I never went. I never wasted all my living. Here your worthless son is. Here he's come home. You've killed the fatted calf. Hey, give me a tissue there, son. He said, you've killed the fatted calf. You're making merry. And said, here, I've been with you all this time. I never left you. You never killed a fatted calf for me. You never did that for me. But oh, I love what the father said. He said, son, all that I have is thine. Woo! Lord, what I'm going to close out here. I want to tell you right now, if you'll stay in Father's house, all that God has is yours. If you'll stay in church, all God has is yours. If you'll stay in Daddy's house, all that he has is thine. Hallelujah. John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I tell you why. I'm going to stay in Daddy's house. Because as long as I stay in Daddy's house, he's promised I'll never go hungry. Because he said he would supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going to stay in Father's house. Because if I'm sick, he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm going to stay in Father's house. Praise God. I'm going to stay in the banqueting table. His banner over me is love. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I'm going to stay in Father's house because his love will cast out fear. I'm going to stay in Father's house because there's safety and there's protection. I'm going to stay in Father's house because his love, it's going to secure me. His love is going to wrap me up. His love is going to take care of me as long as I stay in Father's house. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to stay in Father's house. And after a while, we're going to the big house. After a while, we're going to the big mansion. Hallelujah. Amen. God's going to set the table. Are y'all still here? I said, God's going to set the table. And I'm going to the land. I'm going to the Father's house. In my Father's house, Jesus said, are many mansions. Hey, I think I'm going to go to the Father's house. He's got a mansion on Main Street. Hallelujah. He said, there'll be no night for the Lamb. There'll be no need of light because the Lamb will be the light of that city. So there'll be no darkness. Woo! He said there'd be no sea. He said there'd be no death. He said there'd be no crying. For God himself shall wipe the tears out of our eyes. Hallelujah. There'll be no sick folks. There'll be no lame folks. There'll be no graveyards. There'll be no sad goodbyes. There'll be no hunger. There'll be no tears. There'll be no heartaches. There'll be no troubles. There'll be no devil when I get the Father's house. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Brother Don Gein, in this life, oh buddy, I left Dad's house at 18. And I've been working and making it ever since. 30 years. Amen. A little less than 30. 29. I've been making it. Brother Gein, I don't know how long you've been gone from Dad's house, but you've been working, struggling, making a living, trying to raise children. Am I right? I know your children are raised, but you know what, Brother Gein, if you can just hang on a little further, we're going to Father's house. We're going to Father's house again. Amen. God's going to set the table. And all God's children are going to come home. Hallelujah. Hey, I look back there at Papa Gene. Blessed dear old heart. Worked and worked and worked. His eyesight's gone. And you know what? He's not going to live forever. But you know what, Brother Gene, Papa? After a while, we're going to Father's house. And when we get there, Papa, you're going to see again. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen, Granny. Bless her dear heart. Has just about wore herself down. Amen. Had a stroke just before this meeting. But she's here working. But after a while, Granny's going to fold the apron. We're going to Daddy's house. Hallelujah! Woo! I said we're going to Daddy's house. And in my Father's house are many mansions.
They hold fast unto the end, and I shall give unto thee a crown of life. For surely I have touched thee in this meeting. I have laid my hand upon thee, saith the Lord. I have touched thee that thou mightest stay in my house, that thou mightest stay with me, lest sin would lure thee and destroy thee. But if thou wilt stay in my house, my protection shall be thine, my provision shall be thine. My love shall be thine. Day and one day I shall gather thee unto myself. Where you shall want no more. Where you shall hurt no more. Where you shall cry no more. For surely I have prepared a place for those that walk upright before me. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Let's stand this afternoon, everybody. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I remember when I left to go evangelize when I was 20. I usually left right after camp meeting in June. Came back for Christmas. Left after Christmas. Came back at camp meeting time. And I'm going to tell you some of them 4 and 5 month stretches got awful long. I'll never forget, I'd been out about 4 or 5 months. I closed out a meeting. I was heading home. I mean, I was heading home. I had that trailer and that truck eastbound and down. I got somewhere around about Bristol, Tennessee, somewhere there, and I called my mother-in-law, and I said, I'm coming on in. She said, we're coming on in. What time are you going to get here? I said, oh, probably about 2 or 3. She said, what do you want to eat? I thought she was just, you know, kidding, you know. I said, oh, I want fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy, corn and green beans. She said, all right, it'll be ready when you get here. I thought she was just kidding. I never thought nothing about it. So I pulled up about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I got out of that truck, walked in the house. It was fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, corn and green beans. I've never forgot that. Oh, but that ain't nothing to what it's going to be like when I go to Father's house. Woo! I said, that's nothing to what it's going to be like when we gather at Father's house. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! I don't know about you, but I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to stay with the Lord. God will go to Father's house when this life is over. Heavenly Father, thank you this afternoon for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your word. God, take these simple thoughts, Lord, that I've said. Touch the hearts of these precious young people, God. Lord, may they understand that even now are the best years of their life. A mother and father that loves them. A grandmother, grandfather that loves them, Lord. Oh, God. I know they'll grow up in the normal process of life. They'll get married. All these things will happen. And Lord, they're part of life, and we understand that. But Lord, may they understand now how wonderful it is that they'll not mind the restrictions. They'll not mind the responsibilities, but they'll go back home and they'll be thankful for a mother and a father that love them enough to give them restrictions, that love them enough to give them responsibility, so that when they grow up and become a father and a mother, that they too can instill in their children a sense of responsibility, that they can too build some walls that will keep the world out and keep their children in. God, lay your hand upon these young people. May they seek the face of God, Lord, and serve
serve you. May we all one day gather at Father's house where you'll set the table. Oh, God, where we'll meet to part no more. Where there'll be no sad goodbyes. Oh, God, when we gather at Father's house. Oh, hallelujah, for the eternal ages to spend with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just lift your hands and let's thank God right now for Father's house. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Brother Garrison here, do they normally come in and pray or do they let them go? I don't know what to schedule here in this afternoon service. Hallelujah. Who's in charge? Brother Matt, you're next.
Praise God.